my head around like an owl's at an exorcism. You are holding my sixth book on reading, writing, and language since 2006. Thank you, Little Brown. Professors often ask me to reveal the secrets of my productivity. It's easy, I answer, and I'm serious. I write during faculty meetings. How do you get away with it? Everyone thinks I'm taking notes. The first and more popular of my Little Brown books is Writing Tools. Where did I find the 55 writing strategies shared in that book? They came from close readings of great works of literature, a skill I learned in college and honed into a craft I call X-ray reading. They came from writing and writing and rewriting with the guidance of teachers, editors, and other writers. And they came from countless essays and guidebooks on the writing craft, some published well before the birth of Christ, a pretty good storyteller himself, and some published just last year. In focusing on these important writing books, I am not trying to steal their thunder. I am trying instead to amplify it, to pay back my debt to the authors who shaped my craft. Read them. To those who say that you can't learn to write by reading a book on writing, I answer, then why are there so many of them? Most bookstores devote a shelf or two, or even a full bookcase, to writing guides. I own about 1,500 books, most of them about reading, writing, grammar, rhetoric, composition, language, literature, and journalism. I understand that the writing teacher and legal scholar Brian Garner has a space in Dallas called the Scriptorium, a Taj Mahal of lexical know-it-all. I have a space at the Poynter Institute I call my cubby. Among its room-like, womb-like virtues, it hides 10 steps from a specialized library comprising 12,000 books, most of them on my favorite topics. So many writing books. Which ones will I choose to write about, and by what criteria? Let me explain what I am not trying to do. I am not choosing the best writing guides, or the most practical, or the most enduring, or the most anything. As a reader, I happen to like those lists, the ones you find in Rolling Stone, the 100 greatest rock and roll songs, the 100 greatest guitar solos of all time, Dylan's 100 greatest hits. I do not rank the writing books, but I do appreciate them. Most of what you will read here is why I appreciate them, what I or others have learned from them, and what I think you, the reader, can take away and apply to your own work. As you will see, my appreciation is not without a critical edge. Any advice from John McPhee should come with the knowledge that he has been a privileged New Yorker writer with time and resources most of us can only dream about. Anne Lamott is way too hard on herself, running the risk of discouraging others. And, sad to say, Dorothea Brand, who wrote one of the most original writing guides of all time, turns out to have been, along with her editor hubby, a 1930s-style American fascist and anti-Semite. We teachers prefer our apples without bruises, but there you go. Before I compiled these books, I did some crowdsourcing. On social media, I asked writers for the names of writing guides that had informed or inspired them. Suggestions arrived by the dozens, many with authors and books I had read many times, but others with introductions to strangers I was glad to meet. All of those worthy candidates made my selection process harder. I began by listing books that were famous, popular, or influential. The Elements of Style by Strunk and White. Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg. Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. The New Journalism by Tom Wolfe. Among the 5 W's, who, what, where, when, and why is hardest to answer. I made it my mission to capture why such books matter. I wanted to include writing guides that were ancient and thus foundational, from Aristotle on the cathartic nature of tragedy to Quintilian on the influence of the spoken word. Such texts allow us to trace the long and powerful story of making meaning through reading.